grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the epistle for this day, Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And from the gospel for this day, St. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The gospel that we hear on this last Sunday before Christmas is like the gospel that's always read on Christmas Eve, taken from the gospel according to St. Luke. Now, of course, everybody's familiar with St. Luke's story of the birth of Jesus, and some of us even memorized that story when we were children in Sunday school. But we're perhaps less familiar with the story Luke tells of the events leading up to our Savior's birth. Truly, it is a most wonderful and beautiful story, a story to be remembered and cherished by every Christian heart, and it is a story that is full of joy. That story begins with the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. St. Luke tells of how the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the elderly priest Zechariah as he was going about his priestly duties in the temple at Jerusalem. The angel brings the astonishing news that his aged and childless wife will conceive and give birth to a child whose birth will bring joy to his aged parents. The angel then goes on to say that many, in fact, will rejoice at John's birth. 6 months later, the angel Gabriel is sent from God to the lowly Virgin Mary and greets her with the words, hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. It's interesting to note that the word usually translated as hail actually means rejoice. It's in fact the very same word St. Paul uses when in the epistle for this day he says to the Philippian Christians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. And so the angel Gabriel is in fact saying to Mary, rejoice, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Again, the note of joy. And when our Lord's expectant mother then visits her cousin Elizabeth, who is expecting the birth of John the Baptist, Elizabeth declares that as soon as she heard the sound of Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped for joy, and Mary herself exclaims, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And then, as we all know so well, on that holy night of Jesus' birth, the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night and says to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so as we hear again the story of the Savior's birth and of the events leading up to it, it's this note of joy that's heard again and again. But not only does St. Luke's story of our Savior's life begin with this note of joy, it also ends with this note of joy. Because at the very end of his gospel, Luke tells us that the disciples, having just seen the ascension of the Lord Jesus, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. And there is also this note of joy in the epistle that's read on this last Sunday before Christmas. In it, St. Paul invites the Philippian Christians. He also invites us to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Paul invites those Philippian Christians. He invites us to have no anxiety about anything. He also urges them, he also urges us, to let our reasonableness be known to everyone. And the word translated as reasonableness can also be translated as forbearance, as gentleness, as kindness. Rejoice always. Don't worry about anything. Always be reasonable, be gentle, be kind to everybody. I think that just about everybody will agree that that's a pretty tall order. But St. Paul not only shows us this pattern of Christ-like living, he also shows us the power that makes this kind of living possible. Paul doesn't just say, rejoice always. He says, rejoice in the Lord, because the source of joy is not in ourselves, and it is most certainly not in what happens to be going on in the world. The source of joy is the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And why can we do that? St. Paul provides the answer when he goes on to say, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. The Lord is here. The Lord is at hand. At hand in the child of Bethlehem. At hand in the holy sacrament of his body and blood. At hand every day, come what may. He is at hand at the end of the day, at the end of life, at the end of the world. Therefore, rejoice in him. Rejoice in his gracious presence. And because he is near, because he is at hand, we need have no anxiety about anything, but can instead make known to him all the anxieties and fears that plague us. Because we have seen his gentleness, his great kindness to us. In spite of all our failure to love and trust him as we should, in spite of all our failure to reflect his gentleness and kindness in the way we treat each other. Yes, the Lord is at hand. And the Lord who is at hand is not only our judge, he is also our Savior. He is our peace. And St. Paul assures us that Christ's peace, which goes far beyond all human understanding, will stand guard over our hearts and our minds. And that is a promise you can trust. We're not left to our own devices. Christ's peace, the peace of sin forgiven, our pardon sealed in heaven, will stand guard over our hearts and minds, even as storms rage inside us and around us. Says the Christian poet, "Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below." And so, as we now come to the end of this Advent season, we look forward not only to a Christmas filled with joy in the Lord, who has, as at this time, come to be our Savior. We look forward to all the days to come, guarded, watched over by his peace, which truly goes beyond all human understanding. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all invisible and invisible.